Hello, welcome back to Storytime Anytime with the Homer Public Library. We're reading The Dragons of Blue Land by Ruth Stiles Gannett. Chapter 3, The Men on the Slope. It's a lovely night for flying, thought the dragon as he hurried toward the north, urged on by cool, brisk winds. The rain had stopped long ago, and a crescent moon shone palely. Looking down, he could see the outline of Seaweed Bay and then a point of land called Due East Lookout. At this point, he must turn and fly directly westward over Seaweed City, across Spiky Mountain Range, and over Awful Desert to reach the Blue Land Mountains in the heart of the desert. Many people had tried to cross the desert and climb these mountains. But there was no water, and treacherous sandstorms raged all year round, making traveling almost impossible. So far, no man had succeeded. "It won't be long now," sang the baby dragon as he passed over Seaweed City, over the coastal Spiky Mountain Range, and then started over Awful Desert beyond. "What a lovely night," he thought again, and then all of a sudden, he realized how clear it was over the desert. Where are the sandstorms? Yes, where are the sandstorms? A sick feeling came over him. In weather like this, a man might be able to cross the desert into Blue Land, might see one of the dragon family, and learn the dragon's secret. The dragons still live in Blue Land. Faster and faster he flew, and way up ahead he saw a tiny light where the mountains rose straight up out of the desert. "Men," thought the dragon, "if only I'm in time to warn my family." Onward he sped until he could see that the light was the blaze of a campfire on the rocky mountain slope. He counted 4 or 5 men sitting around the campfire. "I'd better find out what they're planning to do so I'll know how to save my family," thought the dragon, circling down and landing below the men. He carefully picked his way through the huge rocks on the slope and hid close enough to hear what the men were saying. "If Frank and Albert and the rest don't find water soon, we're sunk. We'll have to get back pretty quick, and what if the weather changes? After all, this is the first time so far, as anybody knows, that the weather has ever been clear over the desert. And I don't trust it to last very long." "Me neither," said another voice. Just then they heard a shout farther up the slope, and a man came running down toward the fire. "Did you find water?" they asked him. "Water? Loads of it. The mountains form a circle, and all the streams from these mountains flow toward the center to make a tremendous lake. But that's not all we found."
"You mean you found evidence that the great dragons of Blue Land actually did exist at one time?"
"Evidence," said the man who had run down the slope. "Evidence? Why, we've got 15 of the most beautiful dragons you ever dreamed of trapped in a cave that seems to have only one entrance.
The rest of the men are guarding it."
15 trapped in the cave," moaned the baby dragon. "Why, that's my whole family, my 6 sisters, 7 brothers, and my dear gigantic mother and father. I'm the only one left to save them." "But why didn't they fly away?"
He listened to the men again.
"How do you know you have 15 in a cave?"
"We took them by surprise. They were asleep at the entrance, and when they saw us, they rushed inside. What a sight."
15 dragons," one of them whistled. "What did they look like?"
"They went so fast it was hard to see, but there was one huge blue one, a big yellow one, about 5 smaller green ones, and the rest were blue and yellow. They all had red horns and feet and gold-colored wings."
"I can't wait," said one of the men. "Why, every zoo in the country will want one."
"Oh, no," groaned the horrified baby dragon, hiding behind the rocks.